Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, December 20th. Healthcare centers across the state are calling on Congress in hope of preventing a funding crisis that will imperil clinics throughout Colorado. Eric Gladys has this story.
Colorado's community health centers are hitting the phones today in an effort to get Congress to focus on a funding crisis facing centers that serve 27 million people nationwide. In October, Congress missed its deadline to re-up funding for the community health centers program, and Scott Bookman with the Uncompahgre Medical Center in Norwood says money could run out as soon as March.
What the Community Health Center Fund does is it provides 70% of the federal grant funding for community health centers such as ours. And without that funding, we would be greatly challenged in providing services and keeping our doors open.
Some 740,000 Coloradans rely on community health centers for care. Over a quarter of the nation's health centers are reporting difficulties in hiring and retaining staff, according to a recent survey, even before the 70% cut takes effect. For people living outside of Colorado's metropolitan areas, community health centers can be a lifeline for medical care, and Bookman notes Uncompahgre is the only option for people living in Ouray, Montrose, and San Miguel County's remotest areas. He says in addition to being a full-service medical home, their center is the only available emergency room within a two-hour radius.
We provide primary care, we provide dental services, we provide medical services. We also have a quasi-emergency room, and so we medevac out more than 100 patients per year by medical helicopter.
Bookman says helicopter service is critical in the winter when conditions can add hours to ambulance rides or when roads become impassable. Until Congress takes up bipartisan legislation introduced in the House and the Senate to extend funding, Bookman says they'll remain in a holding pattern as long as possible. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
After our Capitol coverage uncovered numerous allegations of sexual harassment at the State House, things are starting to change. As Benta Berkland reports, an independent human resources person will be hired to handle complaints.
The current arrangement is seen by some as a conflict of interest, and for others, it's a deterrent for those wanting to file claims. And because of our reporting, legislative leaders are now calling for change.
The question obviously is this a perfectly functioning system? Evidently not. Otherwise, I don't think we'd be here today.
That's Republican Senate President Kevin Grantham. During a special meeting on Friday, leadership agreed to hire an outside consultant to improve the conditions for all who come forward with claims of misconduct. Also, sexual harassment training will be expanded to include more aides and interns, and possibly lobbyists, and will occur yearly.
All those that have been blessed, who have been honored to serve in this building, the People's Building, want to do everything within our power to ensure that this is a safe, welcoming, dignified, comfortable place for conducting the people's business.
Democratic Speaker of the House Chrisanta Duran echoed that concern.
There are actions and rhetoric that have become normalized that are unacceptable and inappropriate. We also have to have a conversation and feedback as to how we change the culture at the Capitol.
Lawmakers decided that a human resources person should immediately be hired. Still, there seemed to be some uncertainty about just how much power this position would have, as Republican Senate Majority Leader Chris Hulbert wondered.
Does that person then handle that issue from start to finish, or does he or she do some sort of a incoming report and evaluation and then refer it to the existing people who are the reporting contacts? I don't know which way is right.
That's something lawmakers will have to decide when they return to the Capitol on January 10th. Any changes to the workplace harassment policy require legislative approval. Senate Minority Leader Lucia Guzman, a Democrat, says there needs to be a transformation.
The goal probably for most of us is, how do we change the climate? Because if we don't get a climate where these things are prevented, then we have done very little, and all of this has been ineffective in a way.
About 40 aides and interns working at the Capitol submitted a letter to legislative leaders asking for reforms. They want more security, saying they are fearful of having to work with lawmakers under investigation or those they've had problems with. And because no part of a formal complaint is public record, Others want more transparency. That issue didn't come up during the meeting. Aaron Hottenstein is the founder of the group Colorado 50/50, which tries to get women to run for elected office. She says the number and type of complaints and the person who was accused should be public.
Ultimately, the voters are the boss of the lawmaker. And so if the media and voters do not have the information about the performance of the lawmaker, they can't do anything about it. They can't, you know, not support them in the next election, or even in a more extreme case, ask them to resign. It is a massive problem that there is not transparency in this system.
On November 10th, we were the first to report allegations about the conduct of Representative Steve Lebsack, a Democrat from Thornton who's running for state treasurer. He's facing two formal complaints, including one from Representative Faith Winter, also a Democrat, as well as allegations from 10 other women. Lebsack denies any wrongdoing. We also broke allegations of sexual harassment against Senators Randy Baumgartner and Jack Tate. Both are Republicans. Additionally, Representative Paul Rosenthal, a Democrat, is facing a complaint from a former roommate. I'm Benta Berkland.
Protecting wildlife in the state could become easier if a new bill making its way through Congress passes. Eric Galatis has more.
A bipartisan bill introduced last week in the U.S. House would tap existing revenues from energy development on public lands to finance state plans to keep wildlife populations healthy and off the endangered species list. State fish and wildlife agencies estimate nearly 12,000 species are currently at risk across the country. Suzanne O'Neill with the Colorado Wildlife Federation says investing up front in conservation is the most cost-effective way to protect Colorado's wildlife.
Colorado has a state wildlife action plan, and this will go a long way to funding the really necessary efforts to prevent many species from winding up as threatened and endangered.
O'Neill notes the number of species petitioned for listing under the Endangered Species Act has increased by 1,000% in less than a decade. She says if the measure passes, Colorado could see an increase in conservation funds from $1 million to nearly $30 million annually without requiring new taxes. Colin O'Mara with the National Wildlife Federation points to monarch butterfly populations down 90% compared with 15 years ago, along with a 50% loss of native bee and honeybee populations as big reasons to bolster conservation efforts. O'Mara warns the impacts on agriculture if pollinator populations collapse can't be overstated, since one out of every three bites of food we eat requires pollination.
With so many things that have big price tags, as they're debating tax cuts and increases in defense spending, it's just making the case that this is worth investing in. So far, we're in the early stages, but there's been good bipartisan support on both sides saying that this is a better solution than the status quo.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.